Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com. Being ready for the holiday season is absolutely critical for your store's or Amazon success. That's why Capital Advance from today's sponsor Payoneer could be exactly what you need. Capital Advance gives you working capital to spend on anything that helps you grow your business. Use it to buy more inventory or more advertising or whatever you want. Offers feature a single fixed fee and a gradual settlement plan. Just go to payoneer.com/capital for a free consultation with a working capital expert today. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey. Delighted to welcome back an old friend of the show, Jana Krikic from YLT Translations. They help sellers scale their businesses internationally and help with cross-border selling by specifically focusing on language translation and pretty much anything to do with listings. And I think that's what the guys do. So Jana, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for having me again.
Always good to have you back on. So where are you coming to us from today?
Today, I'm sitting here in cold and very rainy Belgrade, Serbia, Southeast Europe.
Wow. I, by the way, thank you for explaining where Belgrade is for the American cousins who possibly think it's in Australia or something. So that's very rude of me. But
It's not Russia.
No, people get a bit confused, don't they? Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Like, because, you know, when people ask me, like, are winters really cold in Serbia? And then I'm like, right, it's not Siberia.
Yeah.
It's Serbia. That's just regular question, but it's fine.
Yeah. So the small matter of geography, like Siberia is several thousand miles away, actually further away than New York, right? So yeah. That kind of brings us to the whole thing that we're going to discuss today, which is awareness of international opportunities. And actually, there are huge opportunities to sell internationally. And you were telling me about some of the exciting things that have been going on in a lot of the places coming up, and particularly Sweden was a classic example of how not to do it. So we've got lots of things to discuss here. Tell me, first of all, about the new marketplaces. What are the sort of new opportunities that are coming up for the Amazon sphere, first of all?
Right. Well, I would like to first start off with non-European marketplaces, because I know that a lot of U.S. sellers, I've just recently spoken at this really, really big digital conference, and a lot of people were very interested about UAE, especially because unlike, let's say, Singapore or some other, you know, countries and new marketplaces that are connected by some historical reasons to English, to British English, UAE, it's, you know, you should use definitely American English on that marketplace. But what is very interesting is that population is roughly around 9.8 million. And the Amazon bought this Amazon.ae from the Souq marketplace, which was the biggest marketplace over there. So the domestic population is very used to buying things online. They are wealthy and they don't have something as good as Amazon.ae, definitely. It's still dominated by a marketplace called Noon.com, but due to a very fast delivery by Amazon UAE, they're kind of starting to get some edge compared to the Noon.com. When it comes to language that you can use on UAE, it's either English or Arabic. So it really depends on who you want to target. So what's interesting for UAE is that the population consists, there's like 75 to 80% of the population are expats, actually. So you really want to know what sort of product you are selling. Do you want to sell that to the local population or do you want to sell that to expats? What's very interesting is that knowing that like the majority of population are expats, people who always move and they change apartments a lot and they come and go, they need to, you know, and usually people over there, they would rent an empty apartment, then they would buy the furniture and everything themselves. So what's very interesting is the category of home decor, and expenses are, the prices are quite high in UAE and things are quite expensive. But when you check the home decor offer on Amazon, when you compare it to the US, like the US has like 10,000 products, while UAE has like 400 or 500 in the whole category. And people would buy products that they can get for cheaper price, they would buy that online. they definitely love their brands, but they would love to get something similar to that for cheaper price if they can get it online. So home decor is definitely a category you want to get in. And Amazon UAE, if you still haven't checked that, like go to amazon.ae. And, you know, maybe if you are in like a Home Depot category, just double check, like if you have a lot of competitors. And I think you maybe don't have like a single one in that category, but a lot of people don't even check that, and they don't know, you know, like how well they could like to scale on the UAE marketplace. UAE also has FBA, they also have the Amazon Prime, they have vendors. So they basically have everything as like a regular, any other regular marketplace. So Amazon UAE is very, very interesting. What's also new is that we have Amazon Saudi Arabia. They also use English and Arabic, but this Arabic is different than UAE. They use in UAE. And this marketplace is three times bigger than UAE. Also, people are very, very wealthy over there. Unfortunately, I don't know anyone who's selling on this marketplace, but people are expecting great, great things from here. If you guys are, if anybody's selling in Saudi Arabia, please get in touch with me. I would love to talk to you. Because I haven't had anybody literally like to tell me any experience about it. This is all we know, that, you know, it's quite big. It has a great potential. And I'm just really curious if Amazon Saudi Arabia can be even more interesting, maybe at the beginning of 24 for sellers out there.
Very interesting. Well, can I just ask a couple of questions? Sure. I mean, just to get a sense of the size of it. I mean, first of all, very interesting that they are wealthy consumers. They're used to buying online, but there's a lot less competition. It all sounds incredibly attractive. Just give me a sort of reality check. How big is Amazon UAE at the moment relative to, say, you know, America, Britain, Germany, that kind of thing?
Well, I would compare that to, let's say, Spain, for instance, right now. That's a more realistic picture. But what is very, very interesting, and I was just going to go circle back to Europe, is that this year, in the last 7 months, of course, due to COVID, Spain and Italy had their e-commerce has increased by 14%. So that's a lot. When you compare that to Germany, for instance, which is the biggest marketplace in Europe, they've increased only 8%. But Spain and Italy have increased by 13% and 14%. Which is a lot. And what this reflects is that, for instance, like we get a lot of more inquiries from the sellers that would usually just do Germany and France, maybe apart from the UK. They would now go to Spain or Italy, or we only get requests from people who never did expansion to Spain and Italy to do the Spain and Italy expansion, for instance, because those marketplaces are growing so fast. And I think that that's also like the reason is, of course, that people can embrace that sort of shopping. Because I mean, this year, like definitely our lifestyle changed, definitely changed how we shop, where we shop, how we pay for these, you know, shipments. Like a lot of countries that haven't used credit cards a lot are using them. So it's kind of really, really important to see that even those marketplaces that you thought they were kind of small, they're also, you know, they've evolved as any other marketplace. So Spain and Italy have been growing substantially this year. So apart from Spain and Italy being like a sort of a surprise, we now have, of course, the Netherlands, that marketplace that was rolled out at the beginning, at the end of last year. So at the end of 2019, so 2020 was like, you know, the Netherlands finally rolled into the Pan-European program. And there was a lot of time, there was a big wait for a new marketplace to be incorporated in the Pan-European program. Because for a couple of years, you know, Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and then was the UK. And then there was basically nothing for a couple of years. So like the Netherlands was like a very, you know, interesting, very small country, but very big e-commerce penetration. That was very interesting. But a lot of sellers were very disappointed because they were not getting a lot of sales. We've had so many inquiries for the Dutch marketplace. We've done like, I think more than 600 ASINs for sure, because a lot of people would come and be like, I want to do all my ASINs. I want to get them ready for the Dutch marketplace. And then they didn't get a lot of sales. There was like just a couple of sales, you know, because I like to talk to clients and then I ask them like, hey, so how did you do on the Dutch marketplace? And every single one of them was like, well, honestly, I didn't get any results. And I was like, is this for real? And something like that happened because, you know, there was no PPC enrolled. And I was also puzzled by Amazon's choice to do that. At this Amazon webinar I was listening at the beginning of the year, they said like the PPC is just going to roll out at the end of the year. And this actually happened last week. So they finally rolled out PPC for the Dutch marketplace. And now I think that people will finally get to see increase in their sales, hopefully. So we're gonna see what happens over there. The Dutch marketplace is still dominated by bol.com. It's a Dutch marketplace, but I think Amazon with PPC and everything, like getting it absolutely 100% set up for, you know, sellers and marketing, I think they could take over, because people, if they buy from Amazon, it's just that with no PPC, you know, you cannot expect wonders and any super increase in your sales, even if your listings are optimized. So, you know, that's something to look forward to in, let's say, 2021, or maybe now even at the end of Q4. So I'm very curious to see, you know, what's going to happen with Dutch marketplace now when they have everything rolled out, basically.
Interesting, because I've had three clients over the years. One was doing several million, one a few hundred thousand, one sort of just tens of thousands a month, and on bol.com. So that's quite a competitor, isn't it? I mean, what's your view? Have you got any experience of bol.com? Have you got a sense of how well-placed it is in the Netherlands and how well-placed Amazon.nl is going to be to compete with them?
Well, Bol is pretty, I mean, that's number one marketplace. And people just like, when they say like, where I'm going to buy stuff, they say, I'm going to buy it on Bol. And that's their version of Amazon. So unfortunately, when Amazon entered Germany, there was nothing like it. So Amazon was the first one. They didn't have a lot of very serious competitors. But Bol, it's holding the highest position, because it works very differently. It works much simpler than Amazon. And in light of recent events, a lot of listings on Amazon have been banned. They're taking down a lot of listings. They're taking down a lot of sellers, just because, you know, Amazon is in a mess. And I don't think they can, you know, they figure their way out of this whole thing. There are so many sellers, more than ever before. A lot of people pivoted their jobs into like Amazon selling, and everybody wants to nowadays sell on Amazon. So I just think that they're trying to cut off like all the like irrelevant sellers, or maybe some shady business, and they're just doing everything they can to kind of take down your listing. And I just recently saw that a couple of sellers, that they got their listings down because they had like caps lock at the beginning of each bullet, which a lot of sellers do. We haven't had a seller with this problem, but there were people saying we've had our listing taken down just because of the caps lock at the beginning of the bullet, which is something that a lot of people do because visually it looks nice in your bullet. But according to TOS, the TOS says that you can have only the first letter capitalized in bullet, and it doesn't allow caps lock anywhere, which is such a random rule, right? And Amazon hasn't taken down any of the listings for such a long time, but they started doing that even for that, something like that, recently. So I think that people should just be very, very careful about what they do and just kind of reread the TOS again, you know? And now is not a good time to have your listing taken off over the active products like on Amazon because of the Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas, whatever. Like, this is like the most important time of the year.
Absolutely. Well, I think a couple of the differences with the TOS recently with that and the email communications is not so much that the rules have changed, it's just that they're actually enforcing them. And they haven't, as you said, they haven't really enforced them ever, really. So what was good practice a month ago is no longer good practice. It's off in the way with Amazon. Did they move the goalposts swiftly?
Because, as you said, like TOS, they haven't changed a thing, but they started reinforcing it and be like, oh, read this again, even though like everybody is very well familiar with TOS, but nobody has ever had a problem just because their bullet started with caps lock, ever.
As you said, they're getting tighter and tighter because they're trying to find some way to just kind of manage the wave of everything. Too many sellers for their system to cope with. Too many sellers to deal with passing the good, bad, and slight and completely shady from each other. Too much demand relative to warehouse space and so forth. So yeah, bol.com is certainly interesting. I mean, I've got a client who's selling stuff on bol.com, but frankly, if you tried to sell on amazon.com, you would be on page 100. I mean, it's really hyper-competitive type stuff, and he's actually doing really well. You know, it's completely different.
Yeah, it's kind of niche selling because you're selling only to one country, right? So it's like only like, you know, for the Dutch people, it's like very localized marketplace.
Yeah.
And people are just used to it. But I think if, you know, if Amazon, if they play their cards right, I think they could easily win over Bol. But, you know, as I said, like listens are being taken down, like, you know, sellers lose everything they have. And then I think in light of recent events, people would turn to sell on other marketplaces, such as like Newegg or Walmart in the States, or there's Rakuten, or what's it called, the CD,
C-Discount,
it's a French,
yeah.
French marketplace. Yeah, C-Discount, right? A lot of people will go there, be just like, okay, I know I can like have my listing here and then have to deal with Amazon's, you know, BS, you know? And I totally understand that. And even though they will have going to have like a much less revenue, they know that like when they wake up tomorrow morning, their listing is still going to be live and ranked.
So let's talk about European marketplaces outside of the Netherlands, which we've talked in some detail. There's a few that are just coming on stream, aren't there? So I know that Sweden had a very interesting time launching, and then Poland and the Czech Republic due to be coming up. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So Sweden has been a long awaited marketplace. I've known for this like for about a year now. And it's really important because like Sweden is the third largest country in Europe. It doesn't have, you know, 30 million people, but there's like 9.6 million people. But the whole revenue, like from overall sales, 94% come from internet sales. So online sales are 8.3 billion. Like they've been that in 2019. And very interesting for Sweden is that the Swedish e-commerce overall, like the people over there, they have like this special e-commerce culture. So their shopping and online penetration is quite high. Of course, they have like IKEA, H&M, like all these fabulous, you know, online stores are something that people are over there are used to. So home furnishing, of course, is a very important. Beauty and health is like 30% of like the best-selling products, books and media and home electronics. These are all very, very good categories to get in when selling, for instance, on Amazon. And it's very interesting that like online stores such as like Hallens.se, Nelly, Bukia, netonet.ec, you know, it's like they've been like spread around like the whole Europe. They're available in like different marketplaces. So, like Sweden has been into e-commerce for such a long time, and they went so in depth that Amazon really has to, you know, make a big effort in order to win over Swedish customers. What they're doing is like they have this one warehouse in Eskilstuna close to Stockholm, and they're really saying that they're going to win over the customers and win over their loyalty with fast shipping. So what is very important is that this warehouse is very well positioned, so they can actually deliver the item that very same day that it's been ordered, which is something that all other web shops cannot do in Sweden. But, you know, because of the such a good position of the warehouse, it's totally something that will give them an extra edge. For now, 24 categories are available. A vendor is 100% guaranteed. There's a 100,000 euros for long distance selling. Seller fulfilled prime is also available. And it's very interesting to see, you know, how everything goes. And I was really shocked when I saw when they launched the Amazon.se, they managed to put an Argentinian flag instead of a Swedish one on the homepage. And they had so many bad and poorly translated products just done by machine translations. And they had a lot of swear words completely wrongly translated from English to Swedish. Swedish is definitely the language you use on Amazon.se. You cannot use English. What is the case like in UAE or Saudi Arabia? So you have to use only Swedish. And, you know, it's such a very potentially very, very big marketplace. And I think a lot of people are very excited to have the Amazon, you know, marketplace in Scandinavia. And of course, like Norway, Sweden, and Denmark have always been a very competitive countries between themselves. And now I think, you know, like Sweden got it. And then, you know, people are going to be just like, oh, we want our own Amazon. And, you know, like in Norway or Denmark. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if Amazon also decides to expand to these countries as well. But I think this could potentially be a very, very good marketplace. And I was really saddened by the fact that they did so many wrong things when launching Amazon Sweden, because it kind of showed like they didn't care that much. And Amazon really pushes you into selling internationally. And they, you know, they say like, you know, it's going to be good for your business. You're going to scale your business, blah, blah. And then they, you know, launch a website full of, you know, like grammar mistakes with a wrong flag. You know, I mean, I haven't seen that in my life, honestly.
Yeah, that's it's an example of the fact that This is the crudest possible way of not localizing or, you know, making specific to a culture what you're putting out there. But getting the wrong flag, just as you said, it just sends a powerfully terrible, terrible signal. And also machine translation. I would just say to anyone, I know I had a member of the mastermind we run in London for a while, a British-based company, British guy, he was the sort of CEO or the commercial director of that company. And they were doing incredibly well. And he put up listings in Germany for the longest time. They just did machine translation or, you know, Google Translate. And I said, okay, so look, they added an extra few hundred thousand dollars to their revenue and profitably their first year. I sort of bullied them to go into Germany because I said, this is such an opportunity. It's a no-brainer. And they were just selling a UK Amazon at that point, which just blew my mind. I'm like, dude, get into Germany now. But I was amazed that they didn't, I guess they were busy, but nevertheless, if they'd actually paid the respect of having properly translated German listings, I'm quite sure they'd have made an extra £1 million by now. An extra, you know, several $100,000 more profit. I just think, you know, okay, I'm speaking to a translator, so I'm preaching to the choir here, but I just, it kind of blew my mind. I was tempted because I speak German to quite a decent degree. I mean, I'm fluent-ish for a British guy, but I just thought I'm not equipped to do it. But I was just almost tempted to just do it for free for a couple of them just to show them the translation would actually affect conversion rates. But yeah, this is just another reminder that this is not the way to do it. And kind of amazing to get the Argentinian flag. I mean, they must have given it to some kind of VA in the Philippines or something. Like, how could you do that?
That was also my thought. I was like, did you just outsource the Amazon Sweden like launch of the whole page to the, you know, like a VA in the Philippines? Or, you know, yes. Like, I was really shocked. I couldn't believe it, honestly. Yeah. And but I mean, they've corrected like all their mistakes, but it's just ridiculous. And they can read like tens of thousands of, you know, articles on that topic because, you know, people are really angry, like, you know, about Amazon in general.
Yes.
So they were just like, okay, here we go. Amazon Sweden and everything you should know about it, you know, and they're just like, let the word vomit, you know, going, you know, and it's just insane. So, you know, we're going to see what happens with Sweden, but overall, it should be a very, very good marketplace. It's much better than the Netherlands. It's slightly different culture, slightly different e-commerce experiences over there. So, you know, I would definitely suggest going into Sweden before other people do. And a lot of people have started getting into that more and more. But I think, you know, if you have something, you know, especially in the furniture category or some others I already mentioned, just, you know, go and check your competitors. I mean, PPC is going to be way cheaper than it is in the UK or in the US for sure. So, you know, maybe this is a good time for you to, you know, start thinking about that, maybe going into that in 2021 Q1, for instance, but definitely something to think about.
And I guess a bit of a reality check is a big percentage of the population is in e-commerce, and it's obviously very valuable. Yeah. It's a very wealthy country as well. But on the other hand, I guess it's a country of what, 5 million or so, something like that? It's not many
9.
People.
9.6.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you'd be on it with the stats. So it's 9.6, and I guess the Netherlands is what, 14 million people or something like that? So they are worth having.
The Netherlands is much smaller.
Is it smaller than that? Okay.
Smaller,
interesting.
Yeah. Like Sweden is the biggest one. Like Norway and Denmark have like, Norway has around 4 million, and I think Denmark has like 3 million people.
Yeah.
So they're all like very, like fairly small countries. Like Sweden was the biggest one. And I think that's also one of the reasons they launched it in Sweden, because of the biggest population. Norway is the most wealthy country of them all, but it also doesn't have such a big population. And the country is like geographically, it's very like, you know, like it's very kind of long. So it takes like forever for something to go from the north to the south. And it's quite more convenient for that in Sweden, definitely. You know, I just thought that they're going to pick a country where they can deliver the items the same day they were ordered.
Yeah, and mind you, it's not a small thing to deliver something same day from Stockholm, which is pretty much in the south of Sweden, all the way to the north. There's very little population, but if you did have somebody order it, it would be not dissimilar to going from, say, Seattle to Alaska or something. It's a long, long way, isn't it? It's not quite that long, maybe, but it's quite a huge country. And by the way, I just looked it up because out of interest, I think the Netherlands got 17 million people. Like, we forget that corner of Europe, like the southeast of England, is very, very crowded, which, if you're delivering e-commerce, is great. I mean, you cannot move for for people delivering stuff in London streets. I mean, the shops are shut right now in mid-November 2020, but the delivery guys have never been busier. So it's quite a good environment. Yeah. Any crowded spaces, I would say, is always worth thinking about. The Netherlands is a really sweet spot of wealthy consumers crowded into small areas. So if you're delivering goods, that's got to be a good thing to check out. Sweden, more of a challenge, but it sounds like an interesting kind of terrible launch to a potentially great opportunity by the sound of it. So we'll have to see how that plays out. Now, tell me about, so Poland and the Czech Republic, tell me more about this. These also interest me.
Right. So it's been like forever that when you register for the Pan-European program, you have to register for the VAT in Poland and Czech Republic. And for a long time, everybody was wondering, like, why do you have to register your VAT over there? And so, like, from what I've heard, Poland and Czech Republic were supposed to be scheduled for launch this year, but due to COVID and all the craziness, they've been pushed back to 2021 at some point. We don't even know if this is going to be a start of the year or maybe, like, you know, a way back. Well, but, you know, I mean, if we can learn something from Amazon Sweden, I hope Amazon can. So they probably maybe, you know, postpone this for even further down, like, 2021, not to make the same mistake as with Amazon Sweden. But Poland is very, very interesting because Poland has 38 million people. And online sales are close to 12 billion in 2019. And I suppose that in 2020, they just went through the roof as in all other, you know, European marketplaces. And what is very, very interesting is that Poland has over 12,000 online stores. That's a lot for, you know, such a country. And a very popular shopping site in Poland is called Allegro.pl. And it was the leading, it was, you know, 2020 was like leading website in Polish e-commerce with 40 million users in Poland only. And what's very interesting for this Allegro and how advanced actually Poland is that Allegro was in the top list of the biggest e-commerce websites in the world. And it just came right after Shopee, which is a Singaporean marketplace, and Tmall, the Chinese one. So that's just insane how big they've scaled it to be. And I think that right now it has like about like 194 million visitors per month. So that's a lot. So Polish people, they know their business, obviously, they know their e-commerce. And what is very interesting, what showed to me that, you know, there's definitely something happening on Amazon as well, definitely with Poland, is that Zalando, I'm pretty sure everybody knows that, Zalando, for instance, has announced expansion in the connected retail program to Poland, Sweden, and Spain this year. And they launched their marketplaces also over there. So, you know, sellers over there can connect inventory to the online Zalando platform. So, I mean, in the previous podcast, I said that Spain had like 14% increase in e-commerce this year. And Zalando probably, you know, they've already knew that. So kind of they're one step ahead of Amazon, definitely by expanding to Poland, Sweden, and Spain at the same time. And they definitely saw there was going to be a big potential in Spain, even though they were not represented there for many, many, many years. So, you know, something good is definitely going to happen in Poland, I think. And people are more and more embracing credit cards over there. So I think that Poland could be really the next best thing, because from all of these European countries that already have Amazon, like this one has 38 million people. It's like really like right after Germany, I think, and France. So it's like bigger than Italy, for sure, bigger than the Netherlands, bigger than Sweden. So I think Poland could be definitely something which should, you know, you should be on a lookout for.
Absolutely. I think what's interesting about Poland is the curve of the economy and the working habits of the people. I mean, you're a classic sort of East European, incredibly hardworking, efficient sort of person yourself. And I think the Poles really like, I mean, London's been run by efficient East Europeans for the last decade. And we've all personally experienced, if you live in the southeast of England, I think the efficiency and the work ethic of Poles, and it's reflected in their economy, which is growing and growing all the time. So although the wealth of individual consumers would be lower than Sweden for sure, and lower than the UK, lower than Germany right now, I think it's on a real upward trend, which is something else to take a slice of a market when it's smaller and in the early stages. I think if you've got a long-term vision, in 10 years' time, I think the Polish market could be really valuable. I mean, potentially, who knows, if Brexit goes the wrong way for the UK and Poland's economy goes the right way, it could be more valuable than the UK in 10 years or something like that. And
yeah,
these things are entirely possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that everybody should think of like these new marketplaces. They should consider them as like a long-term investment. Hmm. If you think of like you're going to get rich after 3 months of selling in Sweden or, I don't know, like Italy, that's not going to happen. But if you think of this like a, you know, you have like a strategy and like a business plan and a long-term investment, it's definitely going to do a lot of good for you. And I've seen like so many like US and UK sellers make even bigger revenues in Europe than they made at their home marketplace, just because PPC was, you know, like clicks were too expensive, competitors were too strong, you know. So sometimes like people don't even know how well they could be positioned in a different marketplace just because they don't speak the language. And that's a completely wrong mindset, honestly.
The other thing to say is that, I mean, Europe's a very unsexy part of the world in the sense that it's aging and it's had a terrible time under COVID and lots of things. But it is pretty much the biggest consumer wealth concentration in the planet, including the USA, which everyone talks about as a very wealthy consumer market. Yeah, sure, but it's focused on the coasts. And I always used to see my Amazon sales would be really focused on the coasts and not so much in the middle. And Europe is like kind of both coasts of the USA smashed together in that it's a very dense population, it's wealthy, it's educated. And of course, they've adopted, because it's a small place and it's easy to fulfill stuff in the Netherlands compared to the vast swathes of America, where even now Amazon struggled to get to one-day delivery, of course, because it's a continent. Europe's but kind of an edge of a continent, if you like. Asia's huge, Europe is not. And I think that means to me a few simple things. First of all, very wealthy consumers. Secondly, they're geared to online buying in a way that even more than Americans are. And thirdly, COVID's been so horrendous here, and it is at the time of writing, the infection rates are just going up at like a hockey stick upwards curve, sadly, across Europe. And now hopefully that will change. But the consumer behavior that drives people to e-commerce is incredibly strong, even relative to the States. So I think if somebody's in the States listening and they haven't gathered those aspects about Europe, it's a huge opportunity still. I really think that you're so right that it's underexploited by pretty much everyone I ever speak to who doesn't speak foreign languages, let's put it that way.
I definitely agree. I just think that you should not be afraid and not be scared off by the language barrier, definitely, because you can have people who know what they're doing and they can definitely help you out. There are a lot of people that can definitely help you, you know, go over that barrier and just, you know, be like, look, this is good. Let me proofread your listing and it's going to be fine. You know, like, so
yeah.
I understand why people are afraid, but I mean, would you be more afraid or more of like being a next figure seller? You can't, right? I mean, it's a no brainer, honestly. And I don't see the logic behind someone being afraid by the language barrier nowadays, when you know you can make so much money if you decide to go over to the next international marketplace there is.
Absolutely. And the one thing I would like to say about language barriers is this: if you're thinking clearly, everyone's always coming to me and saying, oh, should I sell super heavy items? This is new people, obviously. And I say, well, yes, it's a barrier to entry, but it's going to be an enormous pain every single time you buy stuff. Every time you freight it, it will be heavy and expensive. Every time you fulfill it or try and store it, it will be difficult. And the amount of capital you have to tie it up, it will be a nightmare every time. Whereas a language barrier, you get it translated once, and yes, you might have to update it and refresh it in a year or something, but broadly it's done once and then it's good forever, isn't it? So it's the lightest, most financially least threatening kind of barrier I can think of, but it is a barrier in people's minds. So if you just get rid of that and say, I'm going to hire Jana and get it done, then you have a huge competitive advantage. And I can't think of an easier one, to be honest. For me personally, it just seems like a really easy one to overcome, because it's a mental barrier, not a real one, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I absolutely agree.
So talking of which, then we ought to give you a chance to just make your pitch and tell us what you guys do for e-commerce sellers in terms of, you know, the services you offer.
Sure. So we basically get the whole content you need in order to get started on international marketplaces taken care of. So we do the product listing translations with keyword research, localization, text and images. We do search terms. We even provide you with the list you can use of keywords you can use in your PPC campaigns, which a lot of people are also, you know, dreading to do because they're going to make a mistake. So we also cover, you know, that as well. Apart from product listings, we also do a packaging translation, ads translations. What's very interesting right now are video ads, that they convert very, very well, but you have to have them translated to international languages if you want to sell internationally. Otherwise, it would not be shown to sellers. We also do follow-up emails, Q&As, manuals, basically everything you need it to translate from English to another language. Also brand store, if you have a website or shop, we also do that. And we also create flat files for those of you who don't want to upload things manually, because we don't enter anybody's seller central account. But we either provide our templates or we can create flat files for you. And we also offer customer service support.
So it really is the entire package for those who are worried about
absolutely everything
about the language barrier. And look, I get it, because it comes down to a lot of these things come down to the last 5%, right? People talk about the final mile in logistics and fulfillment, which is the nightmare. And for people doing a business, I mean, I remember that talking this through with somebody who wanted to outsource their customer service. It wasn't actually a foreign language barrier, but it's the same difference. And actually, we just analyzed it, and apart from the fact you can get somebody else to do it, it really falls into a very few buckets. So you just need a few simple, clear templates that will take care of 95% of your inquiries. It's normally, why is my stuff late? It's broken. I really hate the product for X reason. There's very, very few categories, right, that you get contacted for. It's normally, where's my product and it is broken, or it's the wrong product. Those are the three that will count for 80% of things. So again, it's good to not over blow up in your mind the complexity of the problem compared to creating a shipment of stuff and then getting it shipped around the world and then fulfilled. It's actually, maybe it's just less familiar, but I just personally think it's just, you know, it's very, very outsourceable, very straightforward stuff. Well, look, this has been great to talk to you. Really interesting to hear. I had no idea that there were so many new Amazon marketplaces blowing up, and hilarious to hear about the problems with Sweden. I mean, this is an example of how not to do it. They should have just hired you guys and then they would have had it sorted from the beginning, right? So next time, Amazon, you know where to come.
Yes.
Well, many, many thanks, Jana, for coming and sharing your wisdom and excitement as well about all these opportunities.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me, and I'll be more than happy to come again.
Today's episode is sponsored by the new e-commerce podcast, The E-commerce Leader. The podcast is hosted by myself and Jason Miles, multi-million dollar Shopify owner and Udemy's highest rated e-commerce instructor. If you own a thriving online business and want to be the best leader you can, it's got your name on it. For free guides and mini courses on many e-commerce topics, go to theecommerceleader.com.